Up our series with the Brahma Viharas. For me, they really are, these heart practices really are the heart of Buddhism. They're not just a little bit of fluff that we add on to the end of a meditation. They are serious business. As serious as the suffering that we learn about in the Four Noble Truths. Because I have discovered that these four are the antidote to suffering. It is worthwhile spending some time cultivating the Brahma Viharas. Greed, hatred, and delusion cause us to cling or grasp. Or crave, cause us suffering. And I have found that the single most effective solution is love. Developing love for myself and developing love for each other. But don't take my word for it. Try it and see for yourself. These Brahma Viharas, these heavenly abodes, were part of the Indian culture before the Buddha started teaching. He had grown up learning about them and included them in the Dharma because he saw them as essential wisdom to lessen pain and suffering. And I think it must have been comforting for the people at that time to hear the familiar concepts when listening to the teachings. Kind of like how we can feel overwhelmed at the amount of material we need to remember and work with and integrate into our daily lives. Well, they could kind of sink into the Brahma Viharas easily. They had grown up with them. They recognized them and could already see how they worked in their lives. So we've covered metta, probably the most familiar of the four, the heart's capacity to cultivate loving kindness for all beings, immeasurable and boundless. And karuna, or compassion, that takes the metta and shares it with those who are suffering, choosing to be with the suffering of another. Rather than avoid it, because that's the only way to work through it. And tonight I will talk to you about mudita, sympathetic joy, joy derived from the happiness of others, sharing the metta we cultivate to celebrate the happiness of all beings. Mudita is the most neglected of the four, but in my opinion, it's the most fun. It is said to be the most difficult to develop, and I'm curious about why that is. Nayana Panika writes, "It has been rightly stated that it is relatively easier for someone to feel compassion or friendliness in situations that demand them than it is to cherish a spontaneous feeling of shared joy outside a narrow circle of one's family and friends. What is it that gets in the way of our feeling joy for the happiness of others?" Well, mudita has a near and a far enemy. The near enemy is not genuine sympathetic joy, but an imposter dressed up to look like joy. Mudita's near enemy is insincerity and hypocrisy, faking real joy while saying something different behind someone's back. The far enemy of mudita is its opposite, or greed, envy, and jealousy. three very strong emotions that make it almost impossible to celebrate someone else's joy, and which you might recognize as craving or clinging, the root causes of suffering. Could it be that it's easier for envy to arise in us than joy at good news about someone else? Well, we grow up in a dog-eat-dog world where competition is fierce, and it becomes natural, even necessary, to compare ourselves to others. We can easily get stuck in an endless cycle of judging and criticizing ourselves, leaving ourselves in a thought loop of not measuring up, not being good enough. This churning of the mind, this constant evaluating, undermines our happiness. There is no end to the possibilities for comparison, but we can stop them. The suggestion here is to shift that stream of consciousness, to stop looking at others to define ourselves. Then we're free to celebrate another's happiness, rather than feeling threatened by it. Experiencing a shift from "why not me?" to "good for you." This happens when we notice unwholesome thoughts arising, either in our practice or in daily life, and choose to investigate further. It is well worth our time and practice to look into cultivating mudita. Envy is a destructive quality that we offer to ourselves. It's a choice. There's a common phrase, "eaten up by envy," that illustrates this unwholesome process taking over and consuming our minds. And it is all just thoughts, a powerful illusion that throws us off balance. It's difficult to feel joy for another when feeling envious, a strong wanting for what the other has. We may not even be aware that this is what's going on inside, but it is doing damage nonetheless. So it's helpful to notice the far enemy arising, what it feels like in the body, so that we can begin to plant the seeds of mudita, the antidote. This may sound a little bit like the four foundations of mindfulness, sensing into the feelings in the body, vedana, thoughts and emotions that are arising. Envy doesn't feel very good. The ego is in full gear. There's an overbearing concern for our well-being directed inwardly. Mudita is a shift, a leaning toward others, a dissolving of the world that separates us. It's a joining with the other. That separation is just an illusion. The practice of karuna, compassion, brings metta, the quality of unconditional love, to our own or another's pain. The practice of mudita brings metta to our own or another's happiness. Through working with karuna, we recognize that all beings suffer. None of us are immune. When we're able to touch into this truth, would we really wish suffering on anyone? And if we did, what would that say about what we value in our hearts and minds? It just doesn't feel good. Everyone's life is vulnerable to pain. Remembering this is our gateway into mudita. Wishing to diminish another person's happiness only diminishes our own. All it takes is an awareness of these unwholesome qualities arising, a noticing of what they feel like in the body, perhaps a tightening or a contraction somewhere, certainly some negative thoughts and emotions. It is only when we notice that we can loosen our grip around envy and begin to soften and experience mudita. Finding a joy of your own in another's happiness. The Buddha said this, "Abandon what is unwholesome, O monks." One can abandon the unwholesome, O monks. If it were not possible, I would not ask you to do so. If this abandoning of the unwholesome would bring harm and suffering, I would not ask you to abandon it. But as the abandoning of the unwholesome brings benefit and happiness, therefore I say, abandon what is unwholesome. Cultivate what is wholesome, O monks. One can cultivate the wholesome. If it were not feasible, I would not ask you to do it. If this cultivation of the wholesome would bring harm and suffering, I would not ask you to cultivate it. But as the cultivation of the wholesome brings benefit and happiness, therefore I say, cultivate what is wholesome. He really talked like that, and that spells it out for us. Mudita can be practiced formally as a meditation practice, like we did a little bit earlier, or informally throughout our daily activities. Bob Stahl offered me this great example of informal mudita that has stuck with me. He has a friend who hates rap music. You know, that powerful beat, the pounding and the yelling of words that maybe you can't understand, that are kind of graphic sometimes. Well, he just really hated rap music. And one hot summer day, he was driving in traffic and stopped at a stop light when he heard that music coming up from behind in the car next to him. And his mind started going, oh man, why do I have to hear this? Why is this coming up behind me? I can't believe anybody likes that music, you know. And the car rolled up next to him and the beat was pounding and he couldn't help but look into that car. And there he found young adults who were having such a good time. It was infectious, and he started to smile right along with them. And he started to smile at himself for having gone through that whole negative cycle, offering himself some suffering, a good dose of suffering, when it wasn't even necessary. So perhaps first just noticing the sensations that arise with envy in any given situation without trying to change them right away because you feel like you should. And then in an informal practice, investigating a little bit further in a formal practice. When we are still and listening to the heart, it's easier to uncover what might be underneath the envy. I read somewhere that we were not born with enemies. We create them all by ourselves. Envy and greed are powerful feelings that we do not have enough of what we need to be happy. To overcome feelings of lack, it's helpful to recognize and appreciate what is right here in front of us, just waiting for us to notice. By developing gratitude, we see that the conditions of happiness are not bound to feeling recognized for some good deed or accomplishment or accumulation of wealth, but is instead connected with our ability to delight in the ordinary miracles all around us. I just have to share that this morning, I was sitting looking out a window shortly after the sun had risen into the canyon. There's lots of shadow and light. And I saw these birds flying through my field of vision. And it was a really amazing sight because the birds went through shadow. And then when they were in the light, their wings looked like silver, just flashing in the light. And then they'd go in the dark again. And some would be in the light and some would be in the dark. It just was incredible. I was stunned. And I thought to myself, my God, this is beautiful. But I couldn't even describe this to anybody, much less my class tonight. And so I just sort of kept it to myself, this joy. And not a half an hour later, my husband came into the room and saw the same thing and spoke it out loud and said, look at those birds. And they're going from the light into the darkness. And I couldn't believe it. I don't know. That's just a real example of mudita today. That just happened today. And gratitude for the simple things that happen. The Buddha taught that our individual happiness is tied to the happiness of others. We can experience this directly in offering heartfelt kindness to others, regardless of their relationship to others. Try this practice and see if your heart doesn't open a little bit by a little bit. Whenever you walk past another person, no matter who they are, say to yourself, may you be happy. You can even take the extra step of looking at them and smiling as you do this. Both loving kindness and compassion fuel mudita because they bring to light our shared struggles and humanity. Mudita, in turn, also bolsters loving kindness and compassion by breaking down tribalism or being overly loyal to one's own group, dissolving separation. Together, these practices help us to overcome the delusion of separation and bring us together in peace as one. This is sounding to me a little like a teaching on not self. Identifying ourselves as opposed to others is the enemy of mudita. A barrier dissolved between self and other leads away from suffering and toward liberation. It is good to bring our attention to that which brings us joy. Just like the more we bring our attention to the heart center, the more we cultivate a universal love for all beings. What we bring awareness to multiplies. As human beings, we have the rare gift to choose what it is that gets our attention, to choose one thought over another. The ancient mystic Hafiz says, our thoughts become the house we live in. And I like to say, choose wisely. Mudita can be practiced with those near and dear and also with strangers. I know I have shared before how increased mindfulness made me aware of a judgmental and discursive mind. Displeasing as that was, it was necessary for me to notice it in order to rectify it. Suffering happens anytime we alienate ourselves from one another or through negative self-talk. So determined to train my mind on a more wholesome track, when I realized where my mind was going, I would just stop and look away and immerse myself instead in the experience of the present moment. I began to feel lighter and happier and less contracted. This translated into being less judgy about myself and others as well. Now, instead of finding judgment everywhere, I notice mudita arising in its place. At the sight of people holding hands or in conversation as I drive by, I imagine their happiness and it makes me happy. I practice sending metta out to those who need it too. This world can be so hard. How can we be anything but kind? Mudita can also be practiced with animal beings. My daughter Margot and her husband JD have a dog, Nacho, who was traumatized before they rescued her. They have worked very hard and consistently at loving her and training her to be comfortable in her world. And there is one day out of the week that I get to walk Nacho when both Margot and JD are not at home. I know what a service this is to them, and that makes me happy. And I get mudita in return. When I arrive, Nacho greets me at the door with a toy in her mouth and all wiggles and wagging. She's so happy. This was a process. It didn't always happen this way, but she's very happy to see me. And then I sit down, and if I can get the toy out of her mouth, she sits ready for me to toss it up in the air for her, and she catches it, and I tell her what a good girl she is. And she's so happy. And then I say, "You want to go for a walk?" And she gets herself all ready for me to put the leash on her. And I hook her up and bring the treats, and we go outside for a walk. And oftentimes, there's a little calico cat that lives nearby. And she, when she sees us coming, sprawls out on the sidewalk. And Nacho gets so excited. And she starts wiggling all over again and gets close up to the cat. And they go nose to nose. And Nacho's so happy. And the cat's very pleased with herself. The cat has no idea Nacho's a pit mix, but it's so wonderful to see such joy coming from them that I am giggling and laughing out loud. It's contagious. Mudita feels good. It feels better than envy. It feels good to cultivate an open heart and a pervasive attitude of acceptance and joy and delight. And when good things happen to us, we look for those we can share it with, to enjoy it more deeply, to make it last. To this day, though my parents are gone, I talk to them about my greatest accomplishments. And I have also recognized a deeper inner gladness when I share my joy with a friend who listens and is happy for me. It is our cultural conditioning that makes it hard for mudita to spontaneously arise. It needs to be cultivated with intention and on purpose. In Buddhism, it's easy to get overwhelmed with all the material, thinking we have to remember everything and how can we possibly do that. But really, the Buddha taught two things and two things only, suffering and the end of suffering, and that all the teachings support each other. They just need for us to practice them, make them a part of our daily lives, make them a part of our being. And then we don't have to remember them anymore. They are already part of us. Like metta, we practice cultivating sympathetic joy for all beings, not just the few who are near and dear to us. And it's a process. It takes time. And what makes the Brahma Viharas, immeasurable or boundless. It's possible. The Buddha said that the Brahma Viharas were a prerequisite to enlightenment. And this quest to awaken does not mean that we must separate ourselves from the world. Instead, it means that we connect more deeply to it. And I just want to close with this great quote by Albert Einstein. A human being is part of the whole called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons near to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion and mudita, to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. Thank you for your kind attention. And let's just sit for a minute and allow those words to sink in. So when you're ready, I welcome your questions or comments on the practice, on mudita, on any of the Brahma Viharas.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.